It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality and television host, Kerry Kaysen. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Kerry Kaysen.
A good afternoon, everyone. I am Alan Gervie, and here I am on Talk Radio 790 KVC at Gervie's Law, and I am pleased to say that Kerry Kaysen is celebrating her birthday, and we are so happy that she is not here. Not that she's not here, we're happy, but we're happy because she is having a chance to take a break. We gave her the day off. Happy birthday, Kerry. All the best wishes from Gervie's Law. And sitting in Kerry's chair, we have a treat for all of you. That's right. We have Lisa Bloom. Lisa Bloom is going to co-host Gervie's Law with me today. Lisa, of course, is one of the top legal analysts in the country. She's a trial attorney. She's a civil rights attorney. She's a victims' rights attorney. And she's a New York Times best-selling author. That is a whole lot of accolades for one woman. Lisa, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you, Alan. That's very kind. You can keep going if you want. You can spend the rest of the hour saying nice things about me.
You know, an hour isn't enough.
You're very kind.
If you go to the Bloom Firm, you will find Lisa and her firm, and you can read about Lisa and find out all of the wonderful things that she has done. And I've got to tell you something really interesting, Lisa. Last week, we did our show July 4th. It was Independence Day, and on the show, we had Simon Conway. Now, Simon Conway is a very conservative British national. Actually, he's a U.S. citizen, and he came from Iowa to be in studio with Gervie's Law.
Wow.
And I kind of had a tough time.
Why is
that? I have to tell you, when he started saying things like, Alan, you've been here for over 10 years and you're still not a citizen, because of course I'm from Canada. He told me to go home.
Aww, we don't want you to go home.
This is my adopted country. And then he said, you know, that he sleeps with his guns, and I told him I sleep with my wife.
Wow.
And then he said that Donald Trump wasn't too far off when he was talking about the Mexican rapists and drug dealers.
Oh, my goodness. I think maybe this British gentleman needs to go back.
Well,
to
you know,
he
would be very upset about that.
And British are much more liberal than Americans overall. The conservatives in the UK are like the liberals here.
That's right. And that's why he didn't go back to his country, but he became an American citizen. And he's very proud of it, because I accused him of being a Brit. He didn't like
well,
that.
Well, I have a little different point of view, so it'll be a different kind of show today. Thank you so much for having me on.
I think it's going to be a little bit easier for me today, because I'm not going to have to defend myself. A lot of the things that you believe in, I, too, share your concern. Of course, I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And as usual, today I'm here to be the managing partner of your life. And we've got so many things to talk about. There's so many things in the news. And we want to start out with something that broke this week. And you know, I've seen you everywhere. You've been on every media outlet talking about Bill Cosby. And how do you do it, Lisa? How do you get from one place to the other? And if you're following Lisa Bloom on Twitter, she tweets about every 10 minutes, so it's really amazing.
I'm an inveterate tweeter. Well, thank you. Yes, it was a very busy week. I think I did 14 interviews in one day, and I turned down a bunch more because I had a dinner that night. But I think sometimes, you know, I have to speak out. And as you know, I represent Janice Dickinson.
Yes.
She's a supermodel and an author and a mom. And she's one of the 47 women who have now accused Bill Cosby of sexual assault. And she was singled out by Cosby and his team, called a liar about five different ways in a press release that, you know, was picked up worldwide. And we just think it's wrong for her to be re-victimized. It's bad enough, as she alleges, that he drugged her and raped her in 1982, but then to come out and call her a liar and trash her reputation is wrong. So we asked for a simple retraction They refused to do it, and so our defamation case followed. And the defamation case is being hotly litigated right now. In fact, this morning, Saturday morning, I spent all day working on it, and I have, you know, the team at my law firm, the Bloom Firm, we're all working very hard just to get Janice Dickinson her day in court. Because, you know, Alan, Mr. Cosby always says, no woman has ever proved in court that he's a rapist, and that's true. But the story that most people don't know is his high-priced legal team has probably incurred millions of dollars in attorney's fees keeping women out of court. Many women have tried to get into court to prove their case, including Janice Dickinson, and we're going to fight. We're going to get her day in court.
You know, we have a special treat for you, Lisa, because as outspoken as you are on the Bill Cosby issue and many others, and I have a lot to say about it as well, but we want to bring in a special guest right now because we are having a reunion of sorts. The two women who I'm about to introduce, another woman, and I got to tell you something, everyone that's listening, Lisa Bloom and Anne Bremner are two people that have actually won the same award from Highlight Hollywood, and that is the Victims Advocate of the Year. Anne Bremner won it in 2013, Gloria Allred, of course, Lisa's mom, in 2012, and Lisa Bloom in 2011, and on the line from Seattle, Anne Bremner. Welcome to Kirby Flaw, Anne.
Hi, I'm so honored to be on with you guys, two brilliant minds, and Lisa, I just miss you. You're wonderful. I'm so excited about this.
Well, Anne, I love you back, and you have been doing great work for many, many years, and so it's just great to be able to talk to you today.
Now, the two of you, Anne, you worked with Lisa on Court TV way back when. Of course, Lisa had the show.
That wasn't that long ago.
Yeah,
well, isn't it called True TV now?
It is. Yes. This is Lisa, and I hosted a show on Court TV from 2001 to 2009, and Anne was one of our absolute top favorite guests, and you were on many times, weren't you, Anne?
I was, you were my top favorite always. Many times, and Anne always had so much fun. You're so smart.
Well,
and so pretty.
Isn't that sweet?
And, you know, and I saw on the Internet that the two of you starred in the same movie. Isn't that incredible?
What?
Do you know what it is, Anne?
No idea.
You've got to look at your IMDb, because you'll see Lisa
Bloom. Don't believe everything you read on the Internet.
And Anne Bremner in the Mary Kay Letourneau story.
We were in that. Yeah.
I didn't even know I was in that.
You were awesome.
News to me.
You were awesome.
What did she do in that movie?
Well, I think she played Mary Letourneau, but no, I'm kidding. Lisa, you are fantastic, and you did a wonderful job of setting up every aspect of that case in terms of the chronology. And you did it in a very balanced and brilliant way, because that's a very difficult case. I had the civil case, and of course, it remains controversial today, but I think it was handled beautifully by you.
Well, it's very sweet. Thank you.
And, you know, just to remind everyone, because that story has been going on and on, and you've been intimately involved. And, in fact, aren't you still friends?
Not intimately.
Well, we're talking about Mary Kay Letourneau.
Let's choose our words carefully. She's the teacher who had the sexual relationship with her young student and went to prison for it.
Right. And, Anne, aren't they still together, married, with kids?
They're still together, married with kids. They just did a special with Barbara Walters for the 10-year anniversary of their marriage, and they've been together a lot longer than that. And the girls, their girls are now dating, and Billy hates it. I've seen Mary gotten together with her, and she's a paralegal in the Northwest, and then she's moving, you know, forward. But they've been together a long time.
Wow.
That's an unusual outcome.
It is very unusual. Yes. And here in Gervie's Law, we're not suggesting that teachers should, you know, date their students, because it doesn't always end up that well.
Well, she went to prison for 7 years. So, I mean, she served her time. There was a Hollywood producer once that said, if you squint your eyes, it all makes sense. When I defended my case, I defended the police. I had to kind of take that position that, you know, that they wanted to be together. And I said nothing would keep them apart, and they'd probably sell their wedding for $1 million, and they did.
Wow.
You know, let's talk about something really interesting that happened this week, and that is that finally Marty Singer shut up. And what made Marty Singer shut up?
Oh, yeah, I have a lot to say about that.
We have a lot.
Well, it's because of Lisa Bloom. He's afraid of Lisa.
Yeah, so I love that you noticed that, Alan, right? So on Monday, the Associated Press, God bless them, got the Pennsylvania judge to release some of the court record from 2005. And we all heard about the deposition testimony where under oath Bill Cosby had to admit procuring sedatives for the purpose of having sex with women and giving them to women. And there was deafening silence from the Cosby camp on Monday, and then on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, and Thursday, Friday. Here it is, Saturday. Not a peep. And you know what, Alan? When my client, Janice Dickinson, on November 18th, did her first TV interview and accused him of drugging and raping her, that very same day, Cosby's attorney, Marty Singer, came out and publicly called her a liar. Immediately, instantly. The same day, probably within a couple of hours.
Wow.
And so, you know, where is the comment now? What is the statement now? Well, I guess, what can a statement be? I admit that,
well,
I'm a serial rapist. You could tweak it, but that's what I would recommend.
Lisa, Cosby, through a organization called Project 21, and it isn't him speaking, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about what Project 21 said. And can you stay with us? We want to talk about, you're going to Vienna in about 2 hours. I want to find out why, but we have to take a quick break, and we'll be back. We're going to talk a little more about Cosby and then find out what's going on in Vienna. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Can you hear this?
Your chair's making a lot of noise over there.
Can you hear that?
I can hear it.
Mike Walker, can you hear that?
Yes, I can. And what's happening is you're swinging your rack around, apparently.
The Drive Home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips.
Weekdays 3 to 6.
On Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
How fast are Allegra gel caps? It's raking the leaves and loving it fast. How strong are Allegra gel caps?
I'm running with my favorite workout partner, Strong.
Non-drowsy Allegra gel caps give you noticeable relief of your toughest allergy symptoms. It starts working in just 1 hour, 2 times faster than Claritin's first dose, and stays strong for 24 hours.
It's saying yes to pick up football with the guys, Strong.
Allegra gel caps. Nothing's faster, nothing's stronger. Among OTC oral antihistamines. Use only as directed. Visit Allegra.com.
When our water heater broke down last month, it took 5 hours for the plumber to show up, and he charged us a couple of $100 just to come out. Then it cost another $1,800 to put in the new water heater. I felt like I'd been taken, but what else could I do?
The smartest thing you can do is get a home warranty from American Residential Warranty. Their home warranties pay to repair or replace all your major appliances when they break. Just call 877-237-9410. That's 877-237-9410.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio
790 KABC.
And we are back right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I'm Alan Gervie, and we're on Gervie's line. I'm here with my special co-host today, and that's none other than Lisa Bloom in studio. In the house. And we have Super Attorney Ann Bremner, who is on the phone from Seattle. And Ann, listen to this. I want Lisa and Ann to listen to this because this came out from Project 21, which is sponsored by the National Center for Public Policy Research, and they condemned the Judge Eduardo Robrino for releasing the deposition testimony that talked about what Lisa spoke about before the break, which was Cosby admitting to drugging the women to have sex. And let me ask you this, from your trial experience, what is this all about? Why should this deposition testimony from 2005 be protected?
I can't think of any reason. The courts disfavor stealing of records. In fact, in Washington State, our Supreme Court says you can't even do it anymore unless it's just extraordinary in circumstances. So, you know, this should not have been protected. And guess what? I mean, as Lisa well knows, he violated the protective order and the stealing of the records and the settlement. So when he came out with a sweeping denial, including of that claimant. So, and finally, he's a public moralist, so to speak. That's what the judge says. And so, and he wants to keep this private when he's all things moral about family and crime and sex. Forget it. I mean, he gave up any argument he had to keep that protected. I don't know why the whole deposition isn't open now.
Anne's right. And I would say release the entire file. By the way, only the file, only a part of the court file has been released so far. As we all know, because we're all attorneys, much of the file is in the attorney's office, the entire deposition transcript, for example. We've only seen small selections from it. I've read every scrap of information that's been released, but I want to see the whole deposition transcript. And Andrea Constand and her lawyers, and she's the 2005 Cosby accuser, they all want to release it.
Absolutely.
And so they're asking the judge now to release the whole thing. And I say, judge, release it all.
Yeah. You know, I tell my clients all the time that they have to be honest, truthful when they're in a deposition, because if they make their bed, they're going to have to sleep in it. And I'm telling you, with Bill Cosby, why are we protecting him through litigation? Is there a litigation privilege? What would be the reason why we can't use these types of admissions under oath in other cases?
And, Alan, we noticed his deposition for our case for June 22nd. Do you think he came? Of course he didn't come down for his deposition. Of course not. Because Bill Cosby has a problem in deposition.
No, Lisa,
It's a little different than when a journalist asks him questions, right? When an attorney asks him pointy questions, and we saw what happened. He's got two choices. He can either lie, that's a problem called perjury,
right,
or he can tell the truth and admit to what he did, which is a little bit of what he did in 2005, and then he's got a problem. So, of course, his lawyers try to shield him from showing up at all the depositions, try to keep all of the women out of court. That's their strategy. That's their M.O., and guess what? It's not working.
And if you were his attorney, and I know you're not, would you instruct him, not to answer a question? And if so, what would it be based on?
Well, the only thing you can instruct him not to answer would be something that would implicate him criminally, or else was, you know, protected by a privilege like attorney-client privilege. And I've noticed his lawyer in that case instructed him not to answer only on part of that, which was, you know, he didn't instruct him not to answer in terms of giving coitus to women to have sex, and that would be a crime, hello? But I'm not sure if they ever slipped at the wheel a little bit in that deposition, but the cat's out of the bag.
But that's a good point that actually Ann makes. What about, you know, Fifth Amendment?
Well, no, because the statute of limitations has long run on anything he did in the 70s and 80s, and that's why women like my client Janice Dickinson are left with only a defamation claim. If the statute of limitations is run, he doesn't have a Fifth Amendment claim. And
well,
unfortunately, his lawyers tried to block almost everything.
Yeah, I know. I agree, but it was as of that time, at least, I was talking about 2005.
Yes.
Isn't there two cases, one in New Jersey, one in California, where there could be a criminal filing because the statute...
Possible because the victims were under the age of 18, and so there's a longer statute of limitations.
Statute.
I've done a lot of those cases, but they're not easy.
Is what the commentators, or some of them, probably not too bright, on the Internet are saying, that why are these women, if the statute of limitations have run, if they can't charge him with anything, if they can't prove anything because of the passage of time, are these women opportunists? And I even read somewhere where someone said, if a woman is willing to dance for a dollar, they'd be willing to lie about rape.
You know what's a great...
Well,
go ahead, Ann.
No, go ahead, Lisa.
You know what's a great thing about women? As we get older, we get stronger, we get more focused, and we get less fearful. And I've noticed that almost all of the 47 Cosby accusers are in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. And that's because we're not scared little 22-year-olds anymore.
Yeah.
And my client, Janice Dickinson, for example, she's not going away. She is speaking her truth. She knows the trolls out there are going to try to blame her. That happens to all of the women. But they're not going away. And I think they are wonderful role models. And, yes, it would be best if women, when they're victims of sexual assault, would immediately come forward. But we understand why they don't, especially against somebody big and powerful like Bill Cosby. But they're doing it now, and they should be applauded for that.
Amen. And I think, you know, make that number 48. I represent somebody in Seattle that's another victim of Cosby. She's in her 40s. And, you know, I want to say huge kudos to Lisa Bloom for a brilliant legal move, which was filing a defamation case, which, of course, this is within the statute of limitations because, you know, he and through his agents called Janice Dickinson and others liars. It's a two-year statute, at least in Washington State. We don't have to worry about the great statute of limitations. I thought that was beautiful.
Thank you.
You know, I want to say something because a critic might say that you're using any type of legal loophole to try and get back at Cosby.
Well, I don't think this is a loophole. I think you would appreciate being called a liar by Marty Singer and having literally tens of thousands of media outlets around the world calling you a liar by name about the most horrific incident of your life. You know, when a rape victim has the guts finally to come forward and speak her truth, she should be acknowledged, she should be appreciated, she should be applauded. And at the very least, if the rapist doesn't want to do that, he should remain silent. But
and
he shouldn't even have lawyers
something.
To attack her.
Lisa, let me just say this, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but when I represent my clients, I need to get the truth out. And I don't care how I'm going to do it, because I'm defending what is right. And what is right needs to come out. And if you need to file a brilliant lawsuit based on defamation to get the truth out about something that the law isn't allowing you to do because of formalities, then what are people afraid of? Let's hear the truth. Let's deal with it now.
And all we asked for was a retraction, by the way. We gave them an opportunity to just take it back, retract, apologize, and we are done. And that didn't happen, and so our lawsuit followed. And I think it's a meritorious lawsuit. I think we're going to win this thing. And I think I'm going to get Bill Cosby's deposition, by the way. We're going to beat back their anti-slap motion, which is an early motion to dismiss they've filed. Of course, they've thrown in everything in the kitchen sink. We're going to beat that. We're going to get his deposition. Bill Cosby's going to have to come on down to my office. Like every other litigant in the state of California has to appear for a deposition. There's no special rules for celebrities. He's
right.
going to come on down. He's going to answer my pointed questions. His attorneys will object. We'll go to court. We'll get the court order. He's going to have to answer not only for Janice Dickinson, but for the other 40-plus women, because there's a great statute in California that says in a sexual assault case, you can talk about other strikingly similar allegations. So
right.
we're going to talk about all of them.
And let me ask you this. Why did it take so long for people who were affiliated with Bill Cosby to start moving away from him, like taking down the statute, canceling his performances, his endorsements? Why does it take so long? Because we were able, the public saw the truth.
Yeah.
Now, why didn't they do it when everyone knew way back when that he should have been ostracized from the beginning?
It was like a tipping point when that deposition testimony was publicized. And it's like everyone went, I guess he did do it. You know, and we all knew that a long time ago. But for some reason, there has to be some corroboration or some admission, you know, some confession, I think, for people to stand up and say, statute's coming down, you know, the medal's taking them away, you know, we're just going to, because it's like a verity. It's unfortunate because there were sure numbers in terms of the accusers. And Lisa, our anti-slap statute in Washington State was just thrown out, 9-0 by the Supreme Court as unconstitutional.
Wow.
The denial of the jury trial, right. So that's gone.
Interesting.
And because I think it's a horrible thing for people to come back with when you file a defamation case. It's ridiculous.
Yes.
It doesn't apply here. But yeah, the fact of the matter is, I mean, did it just take a while to catch on? Or do people just not, to this day, really believe women when they say they're raped? Do you really think women are going to come forward, like Lisa said, and say they were raped when they weren't? Did that ever happen? I mean, come on. And it's
especially
just
against a very powerful person.
And let me ask you this, because I know you have to leave. We're up against the break at 2:30.
Uh-huh.
Tell us why you're going to Vienna.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm going to Vienna for the International Congress on Law and Mental Health.
Oh.
And I am part of a panel that's dealing with some of the artifacts from the M. Cole Blood case, the book by Truman Capote, and the movie by the same name. All these artifacts surfaced recently. We fought the state of Kansas to keep them. Kansas wanted them. And it's basically taking a look at whether or not the facts as put forth in the most famous true crime book, I believe, of all time by Capote, are really true.
Wow, and also
examining,
how interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Also examining, I'm working with a forensic psychiatrist who's my client, on the whole mental aspect, you know, of whether or not they actually had defenses in the death penalty phase of the case.
That is incredible. We wish we could have you on for longer. We know you're at the airport. You're boarding your plane. We're so happy that you came and joined us, and you're always invited back. Lisa was thrilled to have you on.
Have a great trip, Ann.
Oh, thank you. I'm so honored, and I'm so thrilled to be on with you, Lisa and Ellen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Ann. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on 790 KBC.
Donald Trump expected to take the stage at any moment in Phoenix to talk about immigration in a state many consider ground zero for dealing with undocumented workers coming across the border. Tough-talking Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who has come under fire himself for his comments and actions with immigrants, has just addressed the crowd.
So I know that Donald Trump is speaking out. He's getting a lot of heat. But, you know, there's a silent majority out here that...
About 7,500 people, Trump supporters and protesters, are at the convention center. Greece's finance minister has been talking with creditors today, trying to convince the European finance ministers gathered in Brussels that the Greek government can be trusted to deliver on its reform promises in exchange for a third bailout. Richard Quest says they're skeptical.
They've been burned several times before. Bailout number one led to bailout number two.
In Vienna, nuclear talks with Iran working nonstop through the weekend. I'm Michael Toscano.
So what you want me to do as an anti-vaxxer, you want the ability to scream and yell and say Big Pharma's horrible.
I want my choice. I want my freedom.
Yeah, as long as all the rest of the community is vaccinated so that the disease doesn't exist. I'd love to have 15 kids come on a bus to an anti-vaxxer's house and go, hey, a couple of them just got measles, a couple got mumps, and one has whooping cough. Can Billy come out and play?
Peter?
Tilda. On Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Peter Tilden for Natron's Healthy Trinity. I always tell you your gut is possibly the second most important part of your body next to your brain. If it's inflamed, if it's not operating right, you're going to have gas, bloating, indigestion. Those are warning signs. What do you do to correct that? You take Natron's Healthy Trinity. I've been doing it since 2002. It provides powerful support for your entire GI tract. Natron's Healthy Trinity can help maintain good health as 70% of your immune system is right there in your gut. You take it every day, you'll see the difference. It's gluten-free, has no GMOs, it's made right here in Westlake Village, and there's a money-back guarantee, so you got nothing to lose except those awful feelings down below, the backfiring, the horrible fullness after you eat a small meal. All you have to do is call 866, the number 4 Natron, and you get 25% off a 90-count bottle of Natron's Healthy Trinity, plus Natron will include 2-day free shipping. Call 866, the number 4 Natron, 866-462-8736, or go to natron.com, promo code Peter.
Norm's has two ways to make your mouth water.
Enjoy your SoCal Day Sunny Side Up with Norm's USDA Choice Sirloin Steak and Eggs. Two eggs, two hotcakes, and hash browns.
Sunny, sunny, sunny.
Only $8.99.
Or stack up your rack with Norm's Baby Back Ribs. Complete rib dinners with golden fried shrimp, crispy chicken tenders, or juicy sirloin steak.
Oh, baby.
Starting at $11.99. Soup and salad included. Served all day.
Norm's is SoCal.
Norm's Restaurants, where life happens. Open 24/7.
18 locations. Normsrestaurants.com.
Get news, weather, sports, markets, and traffic first on the Fours.
A real informative.
Only here.
KABC.
Yeah. You're listening to Gervie's Law. Right here on Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And Lisa Bloom and I were just chatting during the news, and we almost forgot to come back on the air. Lisa's sitting in today for Carrie Kasem, who is celebrating her birthday. Happy birthday,
Happy
Carrie.
Happy birthday.
And Lisa asked who the young lady sitting in the booth was, and I said, that's my Gloria Allred.
Your mom is here today cheering and raising the roof every time you say something good.
Yeah, and my mom from Toronto, she came here to spend some time, and she hasn't done as many TV and radio appearances as your mom
has. And so you put her behind the glass.
We put her behind the glass. But she has been on the air. We have talked to Evelyn Gervie here.
I'm sure she's very proud of you.
Gloria Allred and Evelyn Gervie, and we know that Gloria's proud of you because we had Lisa and Gloria on as a mother-daughter. It was on Mother's Day. And it was really great listening to the two of them talk about their relationship and how proud they are of each other.
Well, she's my role model, and I can guarantee you, every time somebody mentions that Gloria Allred is my mom, I get feedback on Twitter. What? Gloria Allred's your mother? I didn't know that. So, yes, guilty as charged. It's true, mother and daughter.
And, Lisa, you are continuing the legacy with your daughter, who is studying for the bar.
And my daughter just graduated from law school at Fordham with excellent grades.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of her. She's studying for the New York bar exam. And so we're cranking out lawyers in my family just as fast as we can. Three generations of female lawyers. How do you like that?
It's amazing. And she is following in your footsteps. She's working at a large law firm.
Brian Cave.
Brian Cave, which is an excellent firm.
And I worked at a prior incarnation of Brian Cave years ago. In fact, when I was pregnant with Sarah, way back before the wheel was invented. And I also want to say that I have a son who I'm also very proud
yes.
of, even though he went in a different direction. He's a ballet dancer. He's a ballerino.
Wow.
A word I learned.
Isn't
that's
that
what
nice.
My son is.
Isn't it great when your kids have different personalities?
I love it.
I have a boy and a girl. They're very different. They're very young. But it's just so nice to see their independence doing what they love to do. And whatever it is.
Yes.
And that's amazing.
And artists are so important in our culture. And
well,
so
you have artistry in you. You are a writer.
Well, I am a writer. If that counts as an artist, I don't know. But I am a writer. I've written three books, and I write frequently on Avvo.com. I write a blog every week about legal topics, usually civil rights topics.
And let's talk about Avvo, because you are one of their representatives, the legal analyst for Avvo. Tell everyone what Avvo does, because I continue to try to increase my grade on Avvo.
Right. So Avvo, AVVO.com, is the biggest lawyer rating site online. And people who are looking for lawyers often go to Avvo to find a lawyer in their area. And it's a good place to start because we all have these profiles. And so I have a 10.0 on Avvo, I'm very proud to say, which is the highest rating. And you get a high rating by having a clean bar record, which
yes.
I do, meaning no disciplinary actions, thank goodness. Very good client reviews, very good peer reviews, and doing
and
a lot of
writing.
Speaking and writing and just generally doing well in court. I'm a super lawyer, blah, blah, blah. So
right.
That's Avvo. But I also am the legal analyst for Avvo. I'm basically the face of Avvo, and I write, as I said, once a week. I love writing my Avvo pieces because they really don't edit me. They let me say what I want to say, and you know I have a lot to say generally on police misconduct and celebrity cases in the news and important Supreme Court cases like the same-sex marriage case. And so I really put a lot of thought into my article. And I tweet it every week. If you follow me on Twitter, at Lisa Bloom.
Yeah, you really need to follow Lisa because she's prolific tweeting. She knows all of these terms. In fact, we were talking about the terms that she uses so that she can make sure she gets all her points across in succinct language.
In 140 characters.
In 140 characters.
I do like the Twitter. I have a good time on the Twitter.
You were already tweeting when we started the show. Now, I have to say something because one of the books that you wrote called Swagger, I want to talk about something that happened this week with a football player at Florida State University, and that
mm-hmm.
was DeAndre Johnson. DeAndre Johnson was caught on tape punching a woman mm-hmm. at the bar, and the criminal defense attorney, Jose Baez,
mm-hmm.
said, and he defended Casey
yes,
Anthony.
Yes, he did.
He said, do we want to teach our young adults that when they make a mistake, that's it, your life is over? And the question becomes for you, Lisa, is a horrible thing. He hits this woman. Apparently there was an argument about race, and she might have said something to him. She has not been charged. And Ronald Darby, one of his former teammates, said, y'all can't keep letting females provoke guys in all ways and then walk free. Like? Question mark. That was his tweet. Like?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the
mm-hmm.
language that we're using now as
yes.
young adults. So tell us, under these circumstances, talk about Swagger and talk about how do we teach young males to be respectable, and if so, if they are not, how do we let them back in to society without potentially, like Jose Baez says, saying their life is over for mistakes they make.
So Swagger is my book about parenting boys that I wrote a couple of years ago, and all of the many pitfalls that they're out there for boys now that people may not be aware of, and this is one of them, right? So you do have one incident of domestic violence. It can ruin your life, and sometimes it should ruin your life, and I'm not saying in this case necessarily it should, but I've seen the video of him punching the woman in the face at the bar, and here's the bad news. It doesn't really matter what she said. If she said something terrible, she shouldn't have done that. But responding with violence is unlawful, and it's battery, and it's caught on tape. And, you know, there are going to be very severe ramifications for that. And so one of the things I talk about in my book, Swagger, is how we have to teach our boys nonviolence. We have to teach them how to de-escalate. And, yes, young men can be volatile. They can get angry. They can lash out. And we have to teach them not to do that. And I talk in the book about how to do that because it's tremendously important. And some young men have lost scholarships. They've lost a college career, a football athletic career, lost their jobs. And so we have to help them learn a better way to handle anger, like walking away or like responding verbally, which would have been fine in this situation.
Right. And this is happening more and more. This past year, we saw so many incidents of it. In fact, this past week, Greg Hardy, NFL player, his suspension from the NFL was reduced from 10 games to 4 games for domestic violence. Wow. And the reasoning that the mediator gave was that the NFL policy wasn't in place to substantiate a 10-game suspension when the incident occurred.
Well, there's probably some fairness to that argument, right? I mean, usually we don't want to impose penalties on people unless they know in advance what the penalties are. Really,
wait a second, Lisa.
Results should not be NFL. It should be
here.
A criminal sanction.
Did you actually say that might have been fair,
yes,
reducing a sentence for domestic violence?
Well, that's not his sentence. That's his NFL,
Good point.
Okay, so his everybody knows it's criminal, and that's where these cases should be. They should be in the criminal courts. As to the implications for his job, I do think it's fair that people have noticed, you know, what the outcome should be. I do a lot of employment cases in my law firm, the Bloom Firm, and so I do stick up for employees' rights, just like you do in your workers' comp practice. But the implications should be criminal. And, you know, there's these great bumper stickers that some LAPD cars have that say there's no excuse for domestic violence. Period. The end. And I think that's an important message for people to get. It doesn't matter what the other person said. It doesn't matter what the other person did. Once you hit, punch, kick, shove, assault a woman, it's over. That's domestic violence. And no one's going to hear whatever provoked the incident.
Right.
That's what people need to understand. We don't want to hear it. Judges don't want to get into it. They just want to know what you did. And if you did that, you're going to have very severe ramifications in the criminal lawsuit.
And guess what?
And family lawsuits.
After the fact, it's very hard to justify. We are talking about things that happen during the heat of the argument. And so later on, when you start substantiating, well, this is what happened, this is a mitigating reason, etc., it doesn't work that way. But what I want you to do right now is explain for our listeners the difference between the criminal or civil actions that take place in these domestic violence cases and the private ones in an employment situation by an employer, the NFL, for instance, or any other organization that metes out punishment that is different, and why people say, like in Adrian Peterson, for instance, He pled no contest.
With his little boy.
Yeah, and he was the criminal system let him go. It's like, you know, you did your 3 hours of community service. But the NFL said you can't play for a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that work?
Right. So, well, with there's actually probably three different ramifications if you are committing some kind of domestic violence and you're in the NFL. One is with your employer, the NFL, or your sports team. One is in the criminal system, and one is in the family law system. The family law system, you can lose custody of your child, and I do a lot of family law as well, including domestic violence cases, and we work on these issues all the time. Generally, what happens if it's a relatively minor, quote-unquote, domestic violence incident, one incident where hopefully nobody's really hurt, they're going to impose a professional monitor on you, and the monitor's going to be hanging out with you all the time that you have your child. That's not fun, and you're probably going to have to pay that person's salary.
Right.
Then with the NFL or some other employer, they may want to terminate you. Because if you're a celebrity, you generally have a morals clause in your contract.
Right.
Right. I've had a lot of television contracts over the years. There's a morals clause. And generally, I can't do anything that's going to embarrass the network. Somehow, no networks ever invoked that for me, even though I have a big mouth.
Have you lost your sponsorships?
Right, no, but I guess they all accept that I have a big mouth. But if somebody engages in domestic violence or they do something that really shocks the conscience of the public, they're probably going to lose their job or at least be suspended. And then, as you say, of course, the criminal system, you can go to prison.
And, you know, the big difference is in an employment situation, there isn't the due process that we may accept in the legal system. Tell us a little bit about how you deal with that with your cases.
Well, here's the law in California. An employer can hire or fire an employee for any reason, good reason, bad reason, no reason. That's the general law, except, and then there's a whole bunch of exceptions. You can't discriminate based on race, sex, age, religion, handicap, national origin, marital status, and a few others that I've probably forgotten. You can't breach a contract if the employee has a contract, which they usually don't, right? You can't fire somebody for being a whistleblower. So there's a few exceptions, and the question is always, does somebody fall within one of these exceptions? And if not, the employer has the right to terminate them. So a lot of people feel that, you know, a job is a right, and employers can't just do mean, nasty things. Unfortunately, they can, unless you fall within one of those exceptions. A lot of the cases I do are sexual harassment cases, for example. Somebody's sexually harassed, they complain, they get fired. That's the typical fact pattern. Completely illegal. Now we have not only a case for sexual harassment, we have an unlawful retaliation claim.
Right.
That's a solid case. That's a good case. I encourage people, by the way, if you feel that you are the victim of discrimination or harassment, to please complain in writing, just very factual, straightforward, calm. Give that to the human resources director or the owner of the company. Keep a copy and see what develops from there. And if you don't get satisfied, then you can give us a call at the Bloom Firm. But at least try internally, because usually that's what the employer policy requires, and that's what the law often requires.
Absolutely.
Too.
Even though the person's usually a little intimidated and doesn't do what he or she should do. You're listening to Gervais Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. More with Lisa Bloom after this message.
Oh, my goodness. Check this out. Donald Trump now leads the GOP presidential field in a new national poll.
I would not legally change my name when I got married, but if Donald Trump becomes the nominee, then I can be, you know, Juniper Summer if she wants me to be.
Officially, legally change Jessica's name.
I'm really going to roll the dice on this one.
Dr. Drew, Midday Live with Psycho Mike Catherwood.
Weekdays, noon to 3 on KABC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn. 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.
Yeah, we are back. We have to be reminded that we're on the air because Lisa and I were just sharing frustrations about fighting for the little guy and having problems sometimes with the system or with other attorneys when we know they're lying. How do you deal with that, Lisa?
Yeah, and like you, Alan, I take cases that I very strongly believe in, people I believe in, people who are the victims of injustices in employment or police beating cases, sexual harassment, right? And we do vet our cases very, very carefully before we take them.
Yeah.
So by the time we take a case, I've really bonded with the client. I really believe in their case. And it is very difficult to control yourself when you know the other side is lying. But we have to, right? We have to as attorneys, because it doesn't help my client if I have an outburst in court. Instead, I have to prove their case in court. That's why I'm working the weekend this weekend on a lot of weekends, digging through the evidence to show the judge in a very calm way, the way the judge wants to hear it. look, we should win this case, and here's why. Here's based on the evidence, not based on the fact that I'm wild and loud and angry, but based on the evidence, because that's what the judges need.
You know, and I admire you for that, because I'm not as controlled as you are.
Oh, I think
Let me
are.
Tell you something about what I do. I guarantee that I can get a response from another attorney where other attorneys don't. And how do I do it? I write emails and I write letters that I just lay my heart on my sleeve, and I just say, how do you look at yourself in the mirror? How do you look at your children? You know that what you did was dishonest, wasn't true, wasn't right, and now you're ducking me, you're not answering, you're not responding, you're not providing the information.
And does that get a good answer from the other side?
They usually get really pissed off.
Yeah, I was going to say, that doesn't usually, I wouldn't think that, because lawyers, they're going to dig their heels in. Well, okay,
you know
great.
What? For me, it works.
If it works, that's
because
great.
Because I'll tell you something. I do it in a professional way. Obviously, I'm not calling them names. I'm not into ad hominems. Now, you were a college debater at Yale, or Yale Law School.
At UCLA, I was national debate champion.
Right. As I was a debater at Brown, by the way.
Awesome.
So we probably crossed paths in the debate tournaments. But I'll tell you something, that for me, a lot of people, it becomes ego driven when you have cases.
Yeah.
And especially in family law, for instance. I know the Bloom Firm does a lot of family law.
Yes, we do.
Bloom Firm is at bloomfirm.com,
the
right?
Bloomfirm.com. Yes.
So you can see the practice that Lisa and all her attorneys there do. But tell us a little bit about these family law situations, because I know they're one of the most difficult cases to handle.
They are. You know, a lot of attorneys can't even do family law because it's so emotionally wrenching. And people come to us at the lowest point in their life. The person they love, they vowed to swear their whole life with, has dumped them. Swears to take the children from them. This is a very, very, very painful time for people, and I'm really proud of my team. We have a certified family law specialist, which only a small percentage of family law attorneys are. He leads up our family law department. Of course, I'm the head of everything in the firm, all of our 8 lawyers and all of our staff. And we really fight for people and try to give them some dignity through the process, show them some respect, show them how they need to win their case by staying calm. By the way, family law judges do not want people flying off the handle either. Show me the evidence. But the good news is in family law is that the presumption is joint custody. And so most people are going to get to see their kids plenty. I sometimes joke that when people are first getting divorced, it's, I want the kids. No, I want the kids. And then a year later, it's, you take the kids. No, you take the kids.
I don't want them. I have no time for them.
Right. So, I mean, I'm very proud that we're able to help people through this difficult time. And a lot of people say, you know, thank God, you know, this was a horrible experience, but I appreciate you standing at my side and fighting for me.
Yeah, and, you know, it's very difficult work, and only certain attorneys are able to do it, because I know, especially attorneys who are parents who are in a relationship, and they see what can happen and how the hatred comes out.
Yeah.
And, of course, as an attorney, you have to keep your eye on the ball. You have to remember that it can't just be based on emotion.
Yeah, and, you know, look, I've been divorced. I'm not perfect. It was a very painful experience for me, but I think it was humbling, and it allowed me to see how hard it is and what people go through, and it wasn't pretty. It wasn't fun, but it's over. It's in my deep, dark past. I'm now remarried. I'm very happily married. Been with my wonderful husband, Braden Pollock, for 7 years now. We're very happy, but, you know, people go through it. 50% of marriages end in divorce. Hopefully, it doesn't have to be horrible. Hopefully, we can help people resolve it with some dignity.
And sometimes you can be a better wife, a better husband, after you've gone through that experience.
The starter marriage.
I, too, have been through that experience, so I know that in my present marriage, things are a lot better, and, you know, it's just, you learn
lessons. You get
lessons.
Another chance.
You get another
Isn't that
chance,
great?
And I'm so thankful for it.
Yeah, I think that's
And that's
important.
What people have to keep in mind. Jeff is on the line. You're listening to Gervie's Law. Jeff, what's going on? Hi.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Jeff.
You inspired a question about government workers and morality clauses and why we don't have them in so many more positions that we need them in.
Well, I don't necessarily think all government workers, and there's probably, I don't know, is there over a million government workers in the U.S.? Probably. I don't think they should all have morality clauses, because I don't want to make it easier for them to get fired. I want employees to have more rights, not fewer rights.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm usually on the employee side.
Yeah.
Jeff, what do you think about this? Because obviously this was bothering you. When you think about morality clauses, it actually does cause a lot more litigation, I would think.
Yeah, I think the old days litigation was minimal, but I think today, the way people are behaving, there's no recourse, especially with government workers, is how do you get rid of these clowns that are acting so inappropriately.
Well, they can be fired for misconduct, and I think that should be the only reason why people get fired, is for poor performance or misconduct. Listen, and when I had morality clauses in my contracts, I always narrowed it down to say something that's illegal, because what's immoral for one person might not be immoral for another. You know, suppose I'm at a party, and unbeknownst to me, somebody in the next room is smoking a joint, right? I don't do drugs, but maybe somebody is. Maybe they're doing it right in front of me. I mean, am I now in violation of my morals clause because I don't stand up and leave? You know, I don't. So I don't want to have to worry. Let's make a very clear line, at least, that should have to be something illegal.
And, Jeff, you know, when I was in college at Brown, I studied moral philosophy. That's what my degree is in. When we talk about moral relativism versus absolutism, I had a really difficult time with absolutism, where someone or the supreme being is actually dictating what's right and wrong. And that's why when Lisa talks about, she talks about objectives of laws of something that we know we can hang our hat on versus someone saying, well, is smoking dope wrong or right? Am I under an obligation to report it or not? So, well, you know, there are a lot of problems, Jeff, with morality clauses.
That makes sense. Okay, I appreciate it. I feel duly updated.
thanks
I'll have
for
to reconsider
calling,
my
Jeff.
Thoughts.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend. You know, it's interesting, Lisa, because people often don't think of these things. When you have a case, let's say an employment discrimination case, a lot of times people don't understand what discrimination is until it happens to them. And
well,
they come to you.
That's right. The cases that we have currently in my firm would curl your hair. I mean, we have a case, for example, of a young African-American man working in a factory, and his coworkers hung a white sheet over his workstation with two eye holes cut out. When he went to Human Resources, they said, oh, it's just a joke. Get over it. I have sexual harassment cases where the perpetrator of the sexual harassment was, wait for it, the Human Resources director.
Nice.
Right? I mean, we have cases where a lot of cases where people complain about unfair working conditions or sexual harassment or race discrimination, and they get terminated. And then I also want to mention that we do a lot of police excessive force cases, and those are the ones that are so emotional, they're so painful, but they're very gratifying when we can get justice for victims of police excessive force, and that's something that I've also spoken about a lot and written about a lot in recent years.
You know,
we can do so much better in America on this
issue. You are absolutely right. And, Lisa, when you talk about people coming to you who are hurt by some of these things that happen in the workplace, people don't realize that one person's joke isn't funny to another person.
Mm-hmm.
Today, of course, Serena Williams won Wimbledon. Congratulations to Serena Williams. And J.K. Rowling tweeted out from one of these trollers on the internet that said Serena Williams was built like a man.
Oh, please.
J.K. Rowling said, my husband looks just like this in a dress. You're an idiot.
Right.
And we have to give J.K. Rowling some credit for sticking up. How inappropriate is it for someone to tweet about Serena Williams' body?
Well, it's completely inappropriate. Serena Williams is fantastic. By the way, she's my vegan sister. I'm vegan. She's vegan, so I have to mention that.
And you look just like her.
Yes, I'm often mistaken for Serena Williams. She's gorgeous, and, you know, why are we judging women's bodies and women's appearances when she's one of the greatest athletes in the world? Some people say she is the greatest athlete in the world. And good for J.K. Rowling for sticking up for her. I think it's time to get past all this nonsense with what women look like and this obsession with our hair and our nails and our muscles. And in fact, this is what my first book, Think, is all about. And I think women crave lives of substance and meaning. And I think it's so great when we stick up for each other.
And Lisa, what a wonderful way to conclude the show, because I couldn't have said it better myself. The fact is that so many people are so abusive to others, and they don't realize how hurtful it is. There's no reason for it. If you've been wronged, come to Lisa Bloom's firm, The Bloom Firm. They do an amazing job of helping victims. And, you know, at Rowan Gervian Wynn, we're doing the same thing. We are brother and sister in the pursuit of justice.
Well, thank you, Alan. I know you do great work at your firm for people who are injured on the job. You do those workers'
comp
cases.
And a lot of people make fun of them as well.
Right.
And, you know,
and
when you're injured,
people deserve to get compensated when
absolutely
they're injured on the
and
job.
The best treatment possible. But that's a subject for another day. I want to thank Lisa Bloom for stepping in here at Gervie's Law when Carrie Kasem was celebrating her birthday. It's been such a wonderful pleasure to
have
you
here. Thank you so much for having me. Great to be here at KABC.
KABC.
And happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Carrie. You've been listening to Gervie's Law. Coming up next is the Doctor's Roundtable with Alan Gervie. So I'm with you for another hour as we talk medicine. You don't want to miss that show. We have a couple of expert surgeons. We're going to talk about breast cancer and spine surgery. So don't miss that. Thanks for listening. Lisa, thanks again.
Thank you, Alan.